Yeah, it was. It was a little bit like you sounded like you were on auto-tune right when we started, just for like a minute or two, and then it all came back. That was more.
I'm on a boat.
That was more of a Skype thing. Than
I'm on
else.
A boat.
It was like that.
Have you seen my boat?
It was,
I've got a boat. And then I got off the boat and I got in a taxi and I went to the store and I got some drink.
I want the auto-tune back now. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Graylian and I break down the offseason moves for the Avalanche, who's arrived in the Mile High City, who has departed from the Avs, which players signed big new deals, and a small coaching move that everyone seems to be talking about. Those topics and much more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 101 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He's James Tapeleg Graylian, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Hey, almost.
Almost. Not absolutely everything, but close enough.
Nope.
Welcome back to the show, everyone.
We can't talk about certain things with the Avalanche, such as the current head coach.
Man, it's the off season, and we have nothing to talk about. Like
nothing to talk about. Nothing's happening.
So boring. Well, first of all, we got to. Where are you, James?
I'm in Portland, Oregon, where it is hot.
It's really hot. Like I would ask you, how hot is it? But it's just hot.
And I just say it's hot enough to make an Armenian sweat. It is so.
It's so hot that you don't even want to talk about how hot it is.
No, I don't want to talk about how hot it is because it was 103 the other day, and that means I talked about how hot it was.
I don't like that. James is hot, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me ask you this. Who wore, for the Colorado Avalanche, who wore jersey number 101?
So many.
This is the 101st.
So many people. There were so many guys that wore 101.
I didn't even think we were going to make it past 100. I thought we'd hit 100 and then just kind of go, well, we did that.
Nope.
Okay.
Not a chance. What we'll do instead is we'll cover the 2001 NHL entry draft for the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club. So, James, throw some names out there and we'll talk couple of them.
I'm going to skip over guys Colt King because
I don't know that guy.
What? Exactly.
That guy is
Pierre-Luc Emond.
No. Not even sure that's a real person.
How about Peter Budaj?
I know Peter Budaj.
Peter Budaj was selected in the second round, 63rd overall.
He's still playing hockey.
Still playing hockey somewhere.
He's in the Kings organization.
Is he still with the Kings?
Yeah, he was the top goaltender in the AHL last year or something like that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So he probably, yep. Good for him.
Yeah.
And Cody McCormick.
Okay. I believe he's still, is he still in Buffalo or is he other places?
I have no idea.
I don't know. He's had a pretty good career.
In the seventh round, 227th overall, Marek Svatos.
Oh, there's a name. There's a name that came and went pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I remember watching him in Carolina, the Avs were down. I think it was 4-1 or 5-2 in the third period. And he scored, I think he scored one or two goals. I know he scored the tying goal to tie it up. And then I believe the Avs won it in overtime or won it in regulation. It was awesome. Good story, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great story. Done. Yes. I'm here to tell great stories. There you go. There's some of the highlights from the 2001 NHL draft for the Avalanche. Right on.
Yeah, that was about it. Everybody else, I mean, there were some other guys. Mikko Vitanen, Frantisek Skladani.
Skladani, yeah.
Thank you.
Why do I know that name?
I don't know. I can't.
Because Avalanche.
Danny Boyce?
No.
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 That's not a real person.
No, it is a real person. Yeah. He played for lots of AHL teams, turns out. He played one NHL game.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, that's
and he had seven penalty minutes. It was with the Senators.
In one game? So. Good for him.
Yeah.
Like he let him know he was there. Nice work.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
And the other guy that you mentioned, Skladani, he mostly played Czech League. So, yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, but that's guys who aren't Avalanche people. And no. We need to talk about people who are with the Avalanche.
Well, we do. And we've got
off season.
Did you hear the
big
news?
A lot of people that that are with the Avalanche, including people who are assistant coaches. They're with the Avalanche, I believe.
It's true. There's a few. Did you hear the big news? I mean, usually the off season is like boring. Like there's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing going. I mean, there's the draft and there's free agency.
And leading up to free agency, the Av said, we're not going to really do anything big.
So it's pretty boring. So did you hear the big news?
Oh, what? What was the big news?
You really want me to? You didn't hear anything?
I didn't hear anything other than, dude. I did hear that Grigorenko was re-signed.
Dude, no. Big. This is bigger. Reto Berra got traded.
No.
Yeah. I know. You probably didn't hear that. No, I mean, so you texted me last week. Mm-hmm. I was just on the Twitter. I was on the Twitter machine at Avs Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can find my good friend James Tape Leg Grelian as Tape Leg on Twitter. So I'm on there and like an hour later, like I'm on there and I don't check it like all the time during the off season, especially, but I check it and you know, it is what it is. Just kind of looking around. And then an hour later I get this text from you and you're like, hey, what did you, actually, I got my phone. You said, Patrick Waugh has resigned. And I was like, what? Yeah, that was.
I think I clarified it as saying they resigned. He left the Avalanche, so there wasn't like he re-signed. He didn't re-sign with the Avalanche.
Here it is. It was August 11th at 12:07 p.m. Patrick Waugh just left the Avs. This is not a drill. I'm not kidding. Whoa. And that was you. I mean, there's usually coaching changes in the off season. It's usually right after the season ends or. Mm-hmm. Right after your team's season ends. Patrick Waugh's gone. Your initial thoughts. Did it go right to Joe Sakic?
My mind was absolutely blown. I did not I immediately thought this I doubt that this is a joke. This must be happening, but wow, bad timing. Horrible timing. I just thought, wow, of all the times to do this. This is not that time. Why wait this long? Why? What wasn't clear for Patrick Waugh that they needed to wait that long? That was kind of my overall feeling about it all. That was the part that I didn't understand. All the parts that I wouldn't understand, that was the part I didn't understand.
The timing behind it. Yeah.
I
think the one theory that I heard. Was maybe he didn't, maybe the kicker was that maybe he didn't want Tyson Berry for that long. I don't know. There's so many different theories out there and there's so many different, you know, there's a lot of different perspective, of course, because it's the internet, but maybe that was the straw that just kind of made everything. I don't know. The timing's so weird on it. It's hard to make sense out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
you know, there's a couple of, there's the things that we know. What we know is that is what his statement said, which was basically, I was going to have more control. I thought I didn't have it. We don't see eye to eye and it's time for me to move on. Joe Sakic said that, that it seemed like he didn't enjoy himself that much that this past season, that there were that Patrick Waugh just didn't seem like he was, that he had fun, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could imagine another year where you're getting close, you're sniffing the playoffs and then it doesn't happen again. You had a very successful season and then you regress and then you regress again. It's not, I could imagine that isn't too much fun, but a lot of people were wondering with him, was this going to work? Was this kind of setup, this kind of deal where he gets some input, where a coach gets input into the hockey operations and selecting whether it would work out or not? And I guess it didn't.
No, I mean, and it definitely was a regression, just like you just brought up. There was a tweet from NHL Numbers and a couple other people. One was in three seasons with the Avalanche, Patrick Watt, 130-92-24 record. His Corsi was 45.3, which was 29th in the league during that stretch. And then his PDO, I looked up PDO. It's kind of an advanced stat, basically stating how lucky your team is. And the Avalanche were second in lucky stuff happening during that time. So, I mean, there wasn't only that, but it was also Nick Katasanka on the Twitter as well. I mean, you could have looked this up pretty easily, too, but his three seasons with the Avalanche, 112, 90, and 82 points, respectively. So, I mean, he was obviously frustrated. I don't know. You know, sometimes people are quick to blame him. They're quick to blame the system. They're quick to blame a lot of things. But maybe those weren't the guys that he wanted out on the ice. And who knows? I mean, we're never going to know. Hockey players always say the right things. Joe Sakic seemed to be okay with the decision. And I think working with friends, sometimes things go this way. And it was hard to get a take out of either of them. I don't think anybody was totally, it didn't seem like Sakic was totally in shock either. I think Waugh brought this up and Sakic said, why don't you take a week or two? And then Sakic went on vacation and then Waugh announced it through his, he didn't even talk to the Avalanche first. I guess that was his own, publicity type, company that he's involved with, and you know he just kind of wrote that letter that you were talking about, and that was it. So
yeah,
I don't know. All of a sudden, the Avalanche are looking for a brand new coach, and camp starts in what, about 5 weeks, maybe a little bit less than that. No problem at all.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. Obviously, it's you see somebody like Patrick Waugh come in, and you're like, wow, this could be really great. The first season that he had. Was it working out? No.
It's hard to say it was.
And can you imagine actually having to fire Patrick Waugh, though, how bad that would have been also? Even if he had earned being fired, firing Patrick Waugh would not have been a pleasant or good thing.
Right when he signed that deal and the wording behind it all and just kind of how I don't think was it guaranteed or I don't there was some things in there that I saw right away and I was like, there's no way he's getting fired. I mean, the only way he's going to leave is if he quits before that contract was up. I just didn't think it would be. I don't think anybody thought it would be 6 weeks before training camp started.
No, it's really awful timing. There's hardly anybody left. You know, there are some people that I'm glad are kind of tied up. You know, Mike Yeo is tied up with St. Louis. I'm so glad John Tortorella has a job, you know, because at this point they could be kind of desperate. They couldn't really hire from within because looking down at San Antonio, they just got. They just fired their coach from the previous year and got a new guy there. So that's not good that you can't go there. And right now it sounds like they're looking at a lot of new blood.
Yeah.
And I really wouldn't be surprised if they're looking basically to sign somebody for a year as a trial, maybe a 2-year deal where they aren't committing to somebody so long. And then when they actually have a better pool of candidates, they can go on a job.
Yeah. I mean, there's some names being thrown out and, you know, I think those of you that know how we approach the show, we don't try to speculate too much. We just kind of talk about what's already happened. So, I mean, there was no names that popped into my head to be like, I want that guy right there, but it's going to be really interesting to see it's gotta be within the next week or two that they get somebody new in here and start planning for the new year. And I bet you we'll figure out pretty quickly whether it was the system, although we'll talk about everybody that has left from last year's roster as well. So it's, you know, just when things, I wouldn't say I'm more excited about next year, and I wouldn't say that I'm super excited that Patrick Waugh left.
There were a lot of people that were.
That they were, you know, excited, there were absolutely.
A lot of people that were saying that the Avs are better off now that he's gone. And it's like, well, maybe.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to wait and see on that one.
There was some comparison to Joe Sacco and people saying that Patrick Waugh was worse than Sacco, which I don't agree with.
Wayne Gretzky's available though.
let's not do that. Okay. I wonder if there was a little bit of that Gretzky thing. I told you about the Wayne Gretzky coaching theory that, you know, when you play for a really good a guy who was a really, really good player who was a star, you know, night after night, you can't live up to that. But when you play against that guy once in a while, you can elevate your game for that game.
Yeah.
You know, or those three or four that you're going to play that season against him.
Sure.
So that was kind of the Wayne Gretzky, you know, he was a great player. But I could imagine it would be really hard to be on the bench.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and then the feel that I got from the players and just from watching them. And there was an interview with Eric Johnson, pretty much the day after Waugh was fired. And the feel that I got from the players, although everybody wasn't satisfied with where they are and the kind of the direction they were moving as well, is that I think the players really liked playing for him for the most part. He struck me as a player's coach. I just think about the faces that you saw on the bench and kind of the weird Craig Anderson thing that happened at the end of his time here with Sacco and the weird kind of captaincy, alternate captain thing that was going on during that time. It was not the same kind of approach from that team, although it was a very different team when Sacco was here. But you didn't get any big revolts. I think they really did like playing for him. It's just the results weren't there, and that's easy to criticize. So, overall, I know everybody can agree. We hope this is a good move for the team, and we hope they start moving in a better direction. There's still a lot of talent left. Eric Johnson said it in his interview as well. He said, you know, hopefully there's a lot of great coaches and a lot of people that want to come coach this team because we have a lot of talent. And I don't think he was saying that to slam Waugh as much as he was looking at the upside of this team and how young they are still and hopefully how well they can play in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, was the Patrick Waugh era a success? No, it just wasn't. No. They made the playoff once in 3 years. They regressed heavily. I think there was a lot directed towards Waugh that was a little unfair. He didn't turn out to be as hot-headed as people kept saying he was. He wasn't. He just plain wasn't. I look at people like Mike Yeo, and Yeo had quite a few outbursts when things weren't going well. A lot more outbursts than Waugh did. Waugh kind of painted himself into a corner in that first game outburst that he had against Boudreaux, and that's not a good corner to paint yourself into.
I think he knew what he was doing with that, and the fans were pumped before that game, but at the very end of that game, and I'll post a video to that for those of you that may have forgotten. I mean, the crowd went crazy, and it was a heck of a win by the Avs that night too. So, I mean, overall, we're hoping that the Avalanche move in a good direction. And Patrick Waugh said he's still not sure quite what he's going to do. He said he might even take just a year off and just be a regular old guy. You know, a lot of people right away were like, oh, he's going to Montreal. And it's like, I doubt that too. So,
well, the first part is, you know, does Montreal want a Patrick Waugh that just came off of those seasons that he had? I mean, why would Montreal consider that a success and an interesting thing? I don't get it.
It was just one of those things that came up, and everybody wants to guess and be right. So, you know, overall, let's go Avs and hopefully Patrick Waugh, you know, good luck in his future. And the one thing I tell you what, he made games interesting to watch. Even when he calmed down and he wasn't that super fiery, kind of cocky Patrick Waugh that we all knew and loved when he was playing. He was still dynamic. You know, one thing that I don't know if I won't miss it. I bet you the players won't miss it is him whistling for the line changes. I mean, I would hope by the time you make it to the NHL, you would know when your shift is supposed to end, or, you know, somebody probably told you that you should probably come off the ice after this amount of time and you have that timer in your head. But man, every shift change, he would whistle to get those guys off. And I'm sure after a while,
I don't understand why other benches didn't learn that whistle.
They're going to change.
Seriously, they just do it. You know, learn the whistle and then whistle. And
why not?
Watch everybody go. Wait, was that it? I don't know.
I think Todd McClellan does totally that a little bit too. Is that's the Edmonton Oilers coach? I think he does that as well. You know, I specifically remember it when he was with San Jose because the Avalanche played them a little more often in years past. But I think he's another one that when he whistles, it's time to come off. And I'm sure the players won't miss that quite as much. I think sometimes you do need that freedom and you don't need to be whistled at like a dog. Yeah. So,
well, when we went back, if we went back to like when Patrick Waugh got hired, I think I'm pretty sure that we talked about this, going from the going from junior coaching juniors and being a GM in juniors to coaching NHLers is a gigantic leap, just like going playing from juniors up to the NHL directly. And one of the things that we were talking about was whether or not he was going to make that leap well. And I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at how much he was willing to experiment and work with and try different things with the offense and wasn't with the defense.
Yeah.
And, and that was one of the things that surprised
me. I think that transition too, it's not only with the type of player and the older, more mature players that are obviously some of the best in the world, if not all the best in the world, but also, mm-hmm. also the coaching aspect too. And there were times that I'm sure I don't know near enough about being a hockey coach myself to know that when someone gets out coached, but it seemed like the adjustments that the opposition was making were far, far deeper and far better than what the Avalanche were doing as far as their adjustments as well. So I'm not saying that's here or there. I'm just saying when you make that jump, it's not only the players, but it's also the speed of the game. And it's also the adjustments you make as a coach. And you can, if a team can't outcoach you, they definitely are. I mean, they're going to take any advantage they get. So I don't know. I wouldn't say it's been a tough 3 years, but they've underachieved.
It's been interesting.
They've underachieved, and there's been plenty to talk about. So hopefully we'll have some other more exciting and more important things to talk about here in the future, like hopefully making the playoffs. Yeah. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting as always. So
new coach. I mean, the timing is awful. Not how anybody wanted things to end for WA, but I guess, you know, we'll just see what happens.
There we go. That's how we roll anyway. So good luck to
most exciting, most interesting thing of the offseason.
Absolutely. Besides Reto Berra getting traded, but yeah, good luck to Patrick Waugh and let's go Avs. That's my thing. So we're just going to go down a little chronological order and just kind of talk about each of the moves really quickly. It's going to be no big deal, but like I already noticed and hopefully that James has his emotions under control, that Reto Berra was traded to Florida on June 23rd for forward Rocco Grimaldi. Grimaldi spent most of last year in the AHL, but there was a few fans that seemed to be pretty excited about this. But this was the
Here's the thing about Berra gets traded to Florida, and then almost immediately, didn't they pick up who did they pick up from Florida? Picks up another.
Oh, they did. That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot who it was. So, right.
And they gave him like a 4-year deal or something like that. It was ridiculous. In fact, you know what? I'm going to look
it up. You should do that because
I'm going to look at who it was because
we have resources. I'm really interested. We have resources available to us that'll tell us anything. Yeah.
So basically, they hired him to get rid of him, which was stunning.
Or to add some depth, I guess. I mean,
James Reimer from from Toronto.
So are they?
And Reimer has let's see. Oh, he signed through 2021.
Wow. Are they expecting? So are they expecting Luongo to just be hurt a lot, or what's the deal? I don't know.
Well, Luongo he's this season. His salary is like $6.7 million. Then he goes to 3.3, then 1.6, and then 1. So he was part of that whole tailing off salary.
We'll keep you around.
And if he retires during that time, he's going to be then the Panthers get slammed with cap.
Okay.
So I don't actually expect Berra to either play or unless it's an injury thing. I think he's just an AHL goaltender, and that's going to be that.
I think, well, he was better, and I know the way he started with the Avalanche was pretty worrisome, but he came back pretty strong until he turned his ankle playing soccer before one of the games last season. But it actually opened the door, which was kind of nice, and we'll talk about Calvin Pickard here in just a few minutes. And that was actually nice to be able to say, okay, you know, Pickard is the true backup for Varley. Let's just see how long they sign him for. And that was actually a pretty good deal with him. So, yeah. All right. So,
absolutely. Good luck. Good luck, Calvin.
Absolutely.
Good luck, Reto.
Good luck, Reto. We're rooting for you either way, kind of, sort of. All right. June 24th.
Yeah, Calvin Pickard, we're not rooting for at all.
Not at all.
Forget him. Yeah. No.
He's not even that great of a guy.
Loser.
Everybody hates him. June 24th, the Avalanche re-sign Andreas Martinsson to a 1-year, $640,000 deal. He had 11 points in 55 games last season. And when guys like Dennis Everberg kind of came and went, I think it was his physical style, and he brought just enough on the offensive end to be able to hang around. And that's actually, you said it offline just before the show, a pretty affordable deal for a guy who plays a pretty decent game in Martinsson. So any thoughts on Martinsson and How excited are you?
No, just that he was kind of the anti Effenberg. I mean, you know, he's not going to put up big numbers, but he is going to go into the corners.
Yeah.
And if that's what you need on a fourth line, then that's what you need on a fourth line. And that was kind of the thing with Effenberg.
Absolutely.
You know, he was a guy who had a little more skill, but wasn't going to be playing on top two lines. So if you're not going to get dirty, if you're not going to get physical, then you're going to be sent away. And that's what happened.
And that was kind of the one thing I remember about Martinson. He had a couple of great goals, but he throws his body around and he plays a pretty tough game. So it's a, mm-hmm. I think the notes that I put on here was low risk, low money, and a depth guy, and the type of player that you need to play well in order to win some games in the NHL. So
yeah,
congratulations.
And if you need to send him down for a few games, you send him down for a few games, you bring him back up. And this may have been a one way deal, but if you send down $640,000, it's not.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was a one way or two way deal, but we'll find out. Yeah. So either way, congratulations to Andreas Martinsson for his well earned deal. Way to go. June 24th, actually, that was draft day anyway, and the Avalanche selected with the 10th pick. Tyson Jost of
Woohoo!
That's right.
Yes, free at last.
That's right.
Here we go. Tyson Jost. Yes. Yes. That's what we're looking for. Who?
What? What just happened? He's going to play in North Dakota for the Fighting Sioux next year anyway. Although he was the British Columbia Hockey League MVP, he had 104 points in 48 games. Now, I'm not a math major, but that's really good. That's a lot of points. See, this is the kind of breakdown you get from a high-quality show like this.
Oh, very impressive.
So many points. You had all these points. So
Oh, by the way, they're not the Fighting Sioux anymore. They're the Fighting Hawks.
Oh, the Fighting Sioux Hawks? What?
No, that was changed.
When was that?
I believe it was last year.
Just to make me look like a jerk. That's what it was.
No, not at all.
They're changing it for all the right reasons. So that's good. Okay.
There you go. I don't need to really tell you.
All right. Good job, North Dakota. We're rooting for you. So Tyson Jost, we'll see him a couple times in Denver, I'm sure, next season. And don't know whether to root for or against him at that point. But hopefully he'll be up with the Avalanche sometime soon when they need him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It'll be a couple years at least. So what else? Any thoughts on Jost? He's a little guy. He's not the...
I know nothing. I really know nothing about him. I mean, the draft this year, I just didn't pay a ton of attention to it. I don't know why, but it kind of came and went. The most interesting things about this year's draft seemed to be the trades that were coming. We already knew where Austin Matthews was going. So
yeah, it's just one of those things.
At that point, it was kind of like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see if there's any big moves.
We have talked about this in shows past, and it's all a big gamble, and there are no guarantees. And if Tyson Jost comes up and is a factor, we will definitely talk about him. And we hope that is the case in a couple of years. So, also on June 25th, the Avalanche traded defenseman Nick Holden to the Rangers for a fourth round pick in next season's draft. Interesting move here. I wasn't super shocked by it, as Holden is what he was the last couple of seasons, but the Avalanche looking to, I think, add some depth to their defensive lineup, or maybe make some room for Nikita Zadorov or Chris Bigra. But Nick Holden was gone pretty quickly, and he's off to the Rangers. And I don't know how I felt about that. I wasn't really this way or that way, but kind of curious as far as who's going to take his place after he's gone.
Yeah. So. I mean, he worked his way back up into, you know, that 3-4 line. I didn't care for him when he first joined the Avalanche, and he got better. All my criticisms, I've said it over and over, all my criticisms of him seem to go away. All anybody seemed to care about at first was that he scored like 9 or 10 goals, but I did not like his defense. I didn't like how quickly he reacted to plays, how he handled the puck. I just thought he was slow and sloppy, and then things got a lot better. And but you know, everybody says that the Avs need better defense. So the Avs are trying to get better defense, and to do that, you got to move out guys and you got to move in guys.
Yeah, and you're just hoping that a guy like Eric Jelena will be healthy. I mean, I think people kind of forgot about that move and acquiring him at the trade deadline, and the fact that he was hurt as quickly as he was in the lineup. But you keep a guy like him healthy, and you kind of have to decide between. And pretty comparable contract numbers between him and Holden as well. So Maybe that was it. There was just too many one-way NHL defensemen up there, and they had to move one, and Holden was kind of the odd man out for a lot of different reasons. So mm-hmm. Holden will be in New York next season, and we'll see how he does.
Good for him. Good luck, you know.
Way to go, Nick.
I mean, Jelena played, what, six games?
Something like that. And it was only six. Yeah.
That was it.
It was between his back and then the elbow injury that ended his season. You know, hopefully he's back and healthy and playing like he can be. So, all right.
Yeah, back injuries are kind of scary because you see what's happening with Parise up in Minnesota. His back is a big problem, and that's a lot of money and a lot of term that a guy has that maybe isn't going to work out. There was I was up in Minneapolis. There's a summer league kind of thing called the Beauty League. It was a 4-on-4 league with a lot of guys like AHLers, NHLers, and Parise was one of them, and he was out of a lot of games because of his back.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's an Avalanche. But he's an Avalanche killer.
It was a lot of fun, though, man. Oh, that Beauty League was awesome. Like, they were 4-on-4 with guys like Stalock in goal. There was James Van Riemsdyk was there. Bufflin was there. I can't think of his name right now, and I should be able
that
to.
That one hockey guy with the stick and the face and the hair.
St. Louis Blues captain now.
Backus.
David
Backus. Jeez.
Oh, I need my brain scan.
You're okay.
But $5 to get in for like three games, and Backus is right there. Backus is like, I was five rows away from David Backus for that much money.
It's a big dude. He likes.
He's a big dude, and that's cheap to get, you know, that kind of entertainment. It was awesome.
He likes to jump Nathan MacKinnon.
A little off. Settle down. Little off topic there, sorry. But yeah, so anyways, a back can be a really big issue.
He did that. And, he jumped Nathan MacKinnon, though. Don't you remember this?
Yeah.
Hey.
So did Lovejoy. I mean, that's what sparked that whole.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Speaking of brain scans, I got my brain scan. You know what they found?
Nothing.
All right.
Sorry.
We're here all.
I'm a jerk.
We're here all podcast, folks. All podcast long. Hey, July 1st. It was agency day. Go ahead.
And going into free agency, the Avs said, we're not going to make a big splash. Mm-mm. We're not going to do it. We're not going to throw a lot of money at guys.
That was another thing that I heard. I hear all kinds of things. I just kind of take them for what it's worth. But another thing that maybe Patrick Waugh wanted to do. Maybe he wanted to go after somebody larger. You know, I don't know. Trade Tyson Barrie. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever. But the Avalanche did do some stuff.
They did some stuff, and I know that fans get upset when their team doesn't do a bunch of free agency stuff. We've talked about it before. We've talked about the free agents that haven't worked out. We've talked about the big money free agents that haven't worked out, and the guys that are still kind of not necessarily getting there yet because of the results. I am very, very, very okay with not throwing a lot of money at free agency this year. There's been a lot of changes over the last couple of seasons, and it's time for the people that are there to step up, but more importantly, for them to gel, for them to work together and know, hey, that is my teammate over there, not just, you know, I'm going to be gone next season, that guy's going to be gone next season. We're going to have another slate of high-priced free agents. Give them a minute. Give them a minute to gel, because the Chicago Blackhawks, not that the Avs are quite have that much talent right now, but the Chicago Blackhawks did not win a Stanley Cup in a season after, you know, like right after getting Kane and right after getting Taze. There were, you know, there's time, and maybe they didn't need a ton of time, but give it a chance for this team to work together.
And so maybe that's just, no, that's fine. And maybe that's kind of what they decided to do. And maybe that's not what Patrick Waugh wanted to do. Who knows these things?
I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you got a guy who is supposed to have input into who's going to be playing there and into the operations. And he's got the same lineup or a very similar lineup that didn't succeed last season. He's like, what do you want me to do? I could see how he would want something different.
Sure. Who knows what input looks like, too. I mean, that can be interpreted a lot of different ways. But the Avalanche started on July 1st by signing Ottawa Senator defenseman Patrick Wierkosz From the
Weirkosh.
James knows how to say that.
Weirkosh.
Yes, Weirkosh. It's fun to say.
I had no idea how to say it. I put it on Twitter, how the heck do you say that? And a couple of people informed me. It's like, hey, you know what? My last name's Graylian. Okay. I got a weird one already. Trust me, I've won the easy to spell, hard to say, all of that, you know, sweepstakes. All right. It should trust me on this.
There you go. Right. I think Weirkosh.
I'm okay with not knowing.
Weirkosh is right there with you. He signed a 1-year, $800,000 deal. He played at the University of Denver. Stay tuned for more of that. He's 6'5", 200 pounds plus, so he's got good size, 62 points in 211 career games, and he played 52 games with the Senators last season and had 5 assists. So, you know, the numbers don't say a whole lot. I haven't watched the Senators a whole lot besides Erik Karlsson to really tell you about Weirkosh, but the DU fans were pretty pleased about this, and he's another big body on the blue line that can hopefully hit people hard and maybe score a goal or two and move the puck around a little bit so the Avalanche can score it, you know? So there's that. And then also, speaking of DU graduates, no, not graduates, but people that played at the University of Denver, the Avalanche signed Calgary Flame forward Joe Colborne to a 2-year, $5 million deal. He played in Calgary last season. He had 19 goals and 25 assists. 6'5", 221, 106 points in 233 career games. So a couple couple DU alums are on their way back to Denver, and I wonder if they were scouted just a teeny bit or if anybody had seen them, because a lot of guys who had played at DU come back here and work out during the summers, and, I mean, who knows how all that went down. But a couple big bodies coming back to the Mile High City, and I don't know. I mean, again, I hadn't followed either of those guys super closely throughout their careers after they left DU, but, you know, hopefully they play well here. Any thoughts on the thoughts on the DU alums?
Not really. You know, Colborne, I'm kind of excited about. That'll be fun. You know, those aren't bad numbers. Weirkosh, we'll just have to see. I mean, he's an inexpensive, big body defenseman. We'll see where they put him and how he works out. But chances are he's one of the guys that's going to be there if Bigra isn't. He's kind of that that 5-6 guy that can rotate in, rotate out.
Or Zadorov isn't quite what he's advertised to be. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of see how that goes. I know all the DU fans are really excited about those two moves, so good for them. The other move on July 1st, there was only one more. This one kind of, it didn't shock me, but I found it interesting, is that they went out and got one more defenseman. The Avalanche signed defenseman from Columbus, Fedor Tootin, to a 1-year, darn tooting on that move. 1-year, $2 million deal. He's 32. So I guess it's better than the 3 or 4 year deals they've been signing to the 33 or 34 year olds, like the Aginla move or the Beauchemin move. 251 points in 510 career games with the Blue Jackets and Rangers. So that one I thought was kind of interesting. I didn't think they would, and maybe we've mentioned Bigra and Zadorov. Maybe they're not even. Maybe this was a move to say they need a little more time down in San Antonio. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see on that one. But
I think this move kind of talks about something that I was going to talk about a little later, which is about defensive pairings and how they manage them and what they're thinking about what they want to do with defensive pairings. But, you know, Fedor Tootin's he's a veteran guy. He's been around the block. He's kind of in that Francois Beauchemin.
Absolutely.
And maybe not quite as good as Beauchemin. You know, we're talking degrees here. There's plenty of young guys on the Avs defensive core right now. Plug in, you know, having a couple of older guys that have been around the block that know how to read plays. That's important.
So, and it's a 1-year deal and it's $2 million. So if it works out, maybe get another 1-year deal. If not, it's not like and then going back to the Holden deal, I think his initial deal was like a 4-year deal. So that was, you know, you're in it, in it for a while, no matter how much money you're paying the guy. So, you know, low risk deal, fairly low money.
Risk deal. And at come trade deadline, if you need to, you know, if you need to ship them off as a rental to somebody else, you can do that.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, that's a manageable number.
I like it. And one of the things that came up with the Avalanche, especially with Bigra and Zadorov, was the young guys coming up. They're obviously lacking some of the experience and some of the kind of physical and mental aspects. And Now you've got a couple more guys that can do that. So the Avalanche needed some help on the blue line. I was willing to watch those two, the young guys come up and you know, kind of take their lumps. But, you know, kind of a move to add that depth that'll hopefully benefit the Avalanche on the blue line and give those guys the time that they need, or at least the depth, so nothing has to be an emergency or anything like that. But it leaves a couple of those guys that came up. The name escapes me. Their first round draft pick from 5 or 6 years ago that has he's come up a couple times and it's just not working out. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch the depth, and you can never have too many veteran defensemen, I don't think, as long as they're not slow. So there you go. All right. July 5th, we'll make our way back to Calvin Pickard, and the Avalanche sign him to a 2-year deal worth $1 million on average per season. I like it. And he played well last season, and heck, some people even said he should have been the starter for a little while last season. And hard to argue with that. He looked good, and now the Bear is gone. That goalie, I guess, controversy is now taken care of, and I like it a lot.
Yep. Nothing I dislike about this deal.
Pickard's a good guy, and the guys love him, and you know, he loves the guys. I mean, he's a great teammate.
Everyone needs a backup goalie that's going to steal a game once in a while, that's going to play solid enough, and that guy is Calvin Pickard. And, you know, again, you could run into a situation where you have a Kolesnik or somebody who you keep around in the organization for a while, but they're never really going to get their chance. That's not a position you want to put a guy in. So I like it.
I think it's great. I like it too. Congratulations to him. Yeah. I know it's kind of a long overdue type thing, but at least he'll be around for the next couple of years. And I like that a lot. July 8th, the Avalanche made the big move that everybody was hoping that they'd make, at least as far as the signings went. And they signed Nathan MacKinnon to a 7-year deal worth about $6.3 million a season. And he is now the highest paid player on the Colorado Avalanche. It's tough to watch at the end of the season. He had hurt his knee a little bit more than anybody let on, especially with Duchesne out towards the end of last season, both of those guys out. You could see the dynamic part of their offense just totally kind of lost out there. He's still going to get bigger. He's hopefully going to get faster, and he's going to score a ton of goals as long as he stays healthy. So nothing not to like about this deal too.
Yep. Nope. It was more interesting to me was just that the Avs kind of got away from that bridge deal that they love to sign, they love to deal with, but at the same time, is there real value to it? To a point. You know, don't get in another situation where you got guys waiting around and holding out and all of that.
That doesn't happen.
Bridge deals, no.
Does
never.
That happen?
Bridge deals just don't like them. So, you know, if you've got a guy, if you got all that talent and you want to keep him around, show him you want to keep him around and call it art. You know, $6.3 million per season. That's a workable number. I mean, that still leaves you room for other guys. You're not talking astronomical. I mean, if it was $8 million, people would go, hey, wait a minute. I don't know. But you know, I think this is good.
I say he's the highest paid player on the team, I'm not saying it's by a whole lot either. He's getting paid a little bit more than Matt Duchesne and a little bit more than Gabriel Landeskog. But I think everybody who has watched him play understands how high his ceiling is with his skill and his size and his speed and everything else he brings. So hopefully he'll keep getting bigger and stronger and faster. And that kind of, that makes other teams nervous. And I like that a lot. So July 20th, the Avalanche re-signed Mikhail Grigorenko. They avoid arbitration with him and sign him to a 1-year, $1.3 million deal. He was one of 25 players that had filed for arbitration in the league. And we'll get to the other one that was the only one to go to an arbitration hearing. But Grigorenko showed glimpses every once in a while. He's a big the thing was is he had played for for Patrick Waugh and juniors as well. So I'm wondering if he's a little nervous now that Waugh is gone, whether his spot on the team is as secure as it once was. But he does have the 1-year deal and he has a chance to prove himself. So, fairly affordable, and we'll see how that goes. July 31st, Tyson Barrie finally signs his deal, 4-year, $5.5 million average. Like I said before, 25 NHL players scheduled for arbitration. He was the only player to make it to the actual hearing, and then the ruling didn't even come down before they figured out a deal that worked. I was surprised by the length. I didn't think it was going to be as long as it was, the deal was. So I don't know. How about you? Were you expecting 4 years from Tyson Berry? More money, less money? What do you think?
I figured, I mean, the money seems right. I was figuring 2 years, but you know, it all depends on how much and how you value, Tyson Berry. Most fans seem to really like him. They really like him for his offense. Then other fans see him as a defensive liability. And so there's, it all depends, I think, on how you look at him and how you feel the style is. And again, we're going to talk about defensive pairings in a moment here, but, I think it was a good deal. I'm happy with it. Why not? And frankly, he still could be, it's still tradable numbers. I mean, 5.5 might be a little high for a trade, but it depends on the skill that you're trading and what you want to give up for what you want to get back. If for some reason they decide that they need somebody with more offense and they want, and they have to give up Berry, it could be worked out. So I think
that's fine. A really good point. As far as his offensive numbers, I mean, obviously top 10 in the league. When it comes to overall top 10 defensemen, his name doesn't come up very often, but a guy that can score some power play goals, and he's dynamic and can move that puck, and not real big. So when it comes to defense, he's not going to give you kind of what some of the other guys, even some of the guys that the Avalanche signed, and maybe that'll balance out the Berry factor a little bit. But with Holden gone, you have to start thinking about new defensive pairings. And, you know, I think EJ is going to be your number one. Beauchemin was paired with him for a lot of last season, but Beauchemin's going to be at least a one or two top defensive pairing guy. Now you have some options. So there's some people clamoring for Tyson Berry to be the number five and kind of a power play specialist guy. But I mean, who knows what else you got as far as defensive pairings?
Well, what always surprised me with the Avalanche was, especially the last couple of seasons when they got Brad Stewart. And then when they picked up, Beauchemin, was from the get go without even playing them yet. The Avs would say this new guy is going to play with Eric Johnson, and it never changed. It never changed unless there was injury. And I never understood it, because how are these guys, you have a nice idea there, but is it going to work? Is it worth it? And that was kind of when we were talking about Waugh, the fact that he would move things around quite a bit on the offense. He would shake up lines a lot on the offense. He would put, he put Nathan MacKinnon and Matt Duchene out there on the same line, and then would have one do faceoffs on one side of the ice and one do faceoffs on the other side of the ice because of which hand they were, left-handed or right-handed. He was willing to do all of that, but nobody mixed up the lines in defensive pairings. And so with the Tyson Berry signing, here's a guy who was always playing with mostly, Nick Holden. And was that the right thing to do? I don't know. Yeah. I think that if I were just from the outside, if I were putting my coach's hat on, I would put Beauchemin with Berry to settle that, to be that stay at home, solid defenseman, that Holden didn't really want to be. He wanted to be more offensive. He wanted to step up a little more. And as he got better, he would do so more. That's not what you need with Berry. You need a guy who's going to read the play, who's going to be willing to go back more, who's ready to take on those two-on-ones if they come up, and who is really good at, who can direct the play. And Beauchemin can do that. Why put that with somebody like Johnson? Put Holden with Johnson. Yeah. You're more solid defenseman, guy who can direct, with the guy who's a little bit more offensive and wants to shoot. And that's just, that's armchair coaching. Everybody can armchair coach. All I'm saying mostly is that this was that those lines were cemented really surprised me. Yeah, you want defensive guys that you're used to, that you can work with, especially those, it's a little more important when it's defensive pairings. But at the same time, you even see the Blackhawks with their guys mixing it up sometimes. They don't stay exactly where they started the season. They move around as need be. I just feel like now with Holden gone and Tootin in, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tootin playing with Berry. I think in that respect, with pairings, that would be a pretty good place to put him. But I just want to see them willing to move guys around a little bit more in the defense.
A lot on the blue line this year. A lot's going to be up in the air. A lot is up in the air mm-hmm. right now as far as, okay, who's going to be paired with who and who's going to be playing with the big club and things like that. So it's good to have some options. They have a few more options than they did even at the end of last season as far as that goes, even with Holden gone. So I don't know. That's going to be it'll be kind of a process, I'm sure, through training camp and through some of the preseason games. And, you know, hopefully things are better as far as depth and chemistry and some of the things you were just talking about as far as balance when it comes to the defensive pairings. Because we all know, watching Ozolins through the years and then watching Tyson Berry, kind of two of the most Rob Blake was another one. But, you know, three of those offensive defensemen, those are hard to come by and pretty valuable when you can get the right ones. You can ask Ottawa Senator friends right. about that with Eric Carlson. So yeah, we'll see come preseason and see who looks good together, and hopefully the Avalanche have the depth they've been looking for. So
but Carlson's is an interesting point, because Carlson has so much offensive upside, but where the Senators overall, exactly. they haven't made the playoffs for a little while, and exactly. so team team success versus player success, sometimes it's a little bit mm-hmm. different.
Ask the Oilers. Just throwing that out there. I'm just throwing that out there.
The who?
Yeah, no kidding. August 11th, Patrick Roy steps down. We covered that. August 16th, you know this guy. You know this guy that's now a Colorado Avalanche. Yeah, you do.
I don't you know
totally
him.
Know.
I don't know him. I don't
you know him.
I've never met him.
Ben Close Smith. Enough.
I've never met Ben you Smith.
Totally.
I have not met Ben Smith.
Ben Smith signs a what? Hold on. 1 year, two-way deal worth 675 points, $675,000. And he had 50 points mm-hmm. in 197 career games. He's a Stanley Cup winner with the Blackhawks. I know, because you know him.
I don't care.
You know him. He's a friend of yours.
I don't know
him. Played for the Blackhawks, Sharks, and Maple Leafs. And James, tell us how you know Ben Smith.
I don't know him. I don't know him at all. Now, his uncle, his uncle is Peter Onjin, who is a conductor for the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Very nice guy. Worked with him a few times. And he is second cousin to Monty Python's Eric Idle, which is just freaking
See,
awesome.
See, this is where you get the good stuff. I mean, the Avs Hockey Podcast is not only your home for almost everything Avalanche, but it's home for awesome stuff, like James just said.
It's home for the occasional Monty Python.
And that's not.
And if you want to know who's conducting the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, well, you might find out.
Ask
here.
James.
I'm just saying.
See, I bet you when you tune into this podcast, the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything mm-hmm. Avalanche, you didn't think there was going to be a Monty Python link. And also, we're mm-hmm. going to tell you who the conductor for the Toronto Symphony Orchestra was.
Peter Onjin, who is also Armenian.
See? And you got Armenian ties?
Yes.
This is unbelievable.
Tying it all together. I'm bringing it all back because apparently it's all about me.
It's like Anyways, a big
Ben
like
Smith. Big bow. Ben Smith is kind of, he's we'll see what happens. He has occasional flashes of brilliance, and then you know, but he doesn't always stick around. I mean, he was around with the Blackhawks for a while. I think they just kind of ran out of juice with him. And also, of course, you know, the Blackhawks are in perpetual salary cap hell. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's
they shipped him off, and it's easy to get lost in the Sharks, and you know, the Sharks needed stuff for their run, so they give them up to the Leafs, and this could be a good fresh start for him.
Who knows? It's a two-way deal, so he'll be coming up and down as needed, and hopefully he adds some much needed depth when the inevitable injuries come up, because that's how it goes in the NHL. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's cover who left. All right, we didn't cover.
It was a lot of. It's been an interesting.
We covered everybody who showed up. We haven't covered anybody mm-hmm. who left yet. Mikhail Bodker goes to the Sharks for comparable money, but when you want to go to a contender and you get that chance, you obviously have to take mm-hmm. it. Andrew Bodnarchuk.
Yeah, I think he signed like four. I think he signed 4 years.
I think it was about $4 million a year, or something like that, as well, or five.
And the thing they were talking about was his speed, and that his speed with the speed of the Sharks was what. Was what kind of made that.
It would have been nice to keep him around, but I also you can't blame the guy. Are you kidding me? The Sharks. Andrew Bodnarchuk goes to the Stars. Andrew Agostino, mm-hmm. we saw him a couple times last season. He goes to the Blues. Zach Redmond, another kind of depth defenseman for the Avalanche, He has now gone to the Canadiens. Sean Mathias, one of the kind of rental players the Avalanche picked up at the trade deadline last season, he went to Winnipeg. Nick Holden, as we mentioned before, went to the Rangers. And Brandon Gormley, who was picked up from Arizona, we saw him a little bit last year as well. He went to the Devils. So
yep, he's going to be playing with Taylor Hall.
Yeah, Taylor Hall has big teeth.
I saw a stat, the 2010 draft, where Hall went first and Sagan went second overall, that the, I think it was the top six picks, none of them were with the team that
picked
them.
That's crazy. Again,
they've all been moved.
Again, the draft is, it is what it is, and it can be exciting, but I like free agency a little bit better. So free agency a little bit better. So there you go. The Avalanche Burgundy White game is on September 25th at Magnus Arena. Everybody gets excited about that. I've been to a couple of those. They're all right.
I've never been to one.
There's a shootout at the end. It's just kind of, I hope the Avalanche win that game.
It'd be kind of ridiculous to put the shootout at the beginning.
It would.
Why would you do that?
Because hockey?
Okay.
I don't know. I make sure people get there on time. Either way, no matter what the score is, they do a shootout and everybody gets really excited about it. So that's your off season. So far, I don't know. Like, I was expecting to do a show and then Patrick Waugh quit and then we really needed to do a show. So I don't know. Hopefully there's nothing bigger that happens. I don't know what would bigger.
It's one of the things where you don't think, you know, when you say anything can happen, this is not the anything that you would expect. Mm-mm. That a head coach who is embedded with the organization would quit with about 6 weeks left before.
I was not. I was expecting to cover a lot of things in this show. Mm-hmm. A new head coach was not one. That's fair enough to say. And believe me, we're ready to cover just about anything in this show.
And we haven't even covered new head coach because we don't have one.
They'll be one eventually.
But he ain't there yet. And I thought we were going to, you know, I figured we'd probably digress into World Cup of hockey a little bit, you know, which I'm like, I don't know why I'm not feeling it for the World Cup of hockey. Maybe it just feels like a big money grab and that's it. But I went to the 2004 World Cup of hockey. I went to a few games in Minnesota.
Great jerseys.
Had a great time. Yeah,
awesome
great
jerseys.
But, you know, this World Cup of hockey, I'm just not excited about it.
It's just kind of there. We'll probably talk about it in more in depth when it happens, and hopefully the Avalanche guys that are in it. Who's in it? Duchesne's in it. McKinnon's in it.
Probably Landeskog is in it.
International dudes. Will Martinson play? I don't know.
Who? I don't know.
See? I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, it's on everybody's favorite ESPN, which this is going to blow your mind. Here in Portland, I don't have ESPN. There's not ESPN on our TV.
I know. Not okay.
We've got all kinds of other things. I've got the NFL Network for some reason. I have the NFL Network on our TV. There is no ESPN. I have never seen that before.
It's not acceptable.
It is what it is.
I need to talk to the owner of this place.
Welcome to Portland, man. Welcome to
maybe
Portland.
Maybe it's too
hot. My friend Bill Robb said that Portland is kind of like Boulder, only dirtier. And he ain't far off. I said that Portland was so busy keeping it weird they haven't bothered to keep it interesting. I believe the head coach here is Steve Konowalczyk.
Oh, cool.
For the Portland Winterhawks.
Yes, I believe that's correct. Former Avalanche, awesome guy.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
It's too hot for.
Don't you have a Konowalczyk?
It's too hot for ESPN. I have all kinds of Konowalczyk jerseys. Shout out to Jake Dubin. I have one of his 2005-2006 jerseys. I have a 2006-2007 game issue jersey. And I've had a couple others made up into Konowalczyks because that guy was a good player. I enjoyed watching him play.
Oh, I am incorrect. He is the head coach for the Seattle Thunderbirds, not the Portland Winterhawks. It's a good thing that I may have to edit that out because they could hunt me down with sticks and fire.
It was a bird of some kind, so I thought you were right on. But either way, shout out to Steve Konowalczyk.
He was a player for the Portland Winterhawks.
He was a player.
Hence,
he's a player. Yeah. All right. All right, that's the news. That's your Avalanche news.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. That's unless something bigger comes along. Sheesh.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I don't know what that would be. I'm kind of scared to think what it might be. So hopefully not.
I don't know.
Hopefully not.
No, it's they can't. They just can't. I mean, you know, you could. They can't. I don't think that. I think if you were to like go and serve notice with the Avalanche, they would just be like, nope.
Thanks for stopping by.
It's not going to happen.
For coming by. We have no.
You can't.
We have no news for you. No news is good news right now. All right. Hey, James, you got any shout outs for the people out there listening in the world?
I do have a shout out. Jeremy and Cindy in Minneapolis. They are hockey buddies. I was playing hockey with Jeremy, doing the JMS hockey stuff up there. It was a lot of fun. I play 2 to 3 times a week, and it turns out that 3 times a week playing hockey for me is 1 too many. Oh, lots of
pain.
We're old. Falling apart here. Falling apart.
Well, you gave it the old...
I hurt so much, even more hair fell out.
And that's hard. That's hard.
It's difficult.
I agree. I got a couple. I've got Jersey Baron on eBay. Treats everybody great. Folks, he's not paying me anything, but if you need jerseys, go check out Jersey Baron. He sells the legit stuff. It's a little bit pricey, but talk to him. I don't know. Tell him you know me and see if that helps. But great stuff, great prices.
I tell everybody I know.
And they go like, hey,
can I have a medium?
But I know Jay from HP.
I know Jay Veen, if that helps at all.
They're like, what?
And they're like, oh, yeah, totally.
You can have this.
And then for some reason I'm not allowed back in the place.
That's all you. That's not me. That's
nice.
That's for you being creepy. Yeah? No.
I'm not creepy.
You look sharp. You look good, my man.
I'm so not creepy. I don't know why you
No way you're creepy. You're a lot of things. Creepy's not one. Shout out to James. All right. Rob Sparandera. How do we decide to say that?
Sparandera.
Rob, thank you for your comment on the Ian LaPerriere.
Look, Rob, post. I'm sorry. I'm jacking up your name. Jay is probably doing it right. It's my fault. You can just, you know.
We gave it the old college try. But shout out to Rob. Left a comment on the Ian LaPerriere post. I didn't get the notification for that. I just saw it. Rob, I will be back in touch with you. Thank you for being in touch with me. And shout out to everyone that's ready for some Mav Twitter Psychic this season. It's going to be a great year. Mm-hmm. It's almost hockey season, and ATP just makes it a little bit better. So shout out to Team AHP out there. And again, all in total, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to us. We appreciate it. And we're excited for the season, and I hope you are too. James, are you ready? You got the spiel ready, don't you?
What?
Man, we're in mid-season form already with the spiel. Yeah. That's
let me tell you,
that's how we roll.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can listen to the latest episodes, where you can subscribe. You can click on the Team AHP hashtag and it might do something. Who the heck knows? There's also comments there that you can leave because, you know, you listen on an iPod and then you go, hey, I'll talk about that later. And then you get home and then you say, oh, wait, what was I going to do? Oh, yeah, look up a recipe for beef stroganoff. And then you wind up making that for the evening and get distracted by things like shiny lights and
jewelry and so forth.
What was I doing?
The spiel, the spiel. Instagram, go. Facebook.
Jay's got an Instagram thing at instagram.com/avspodcast. He's on Twitter at avspodcast. There's a Facebook page at facebook.com/avshockeypodcast. You can look up our t-shirts at curseword.net. There's little curse word stuff. We didn't even say curse word about Patrick Waugh leaving, so yeah, maybe it's,
we should have dropped one there.
Does that say anything about the way that we feel about it?
I don't know.
It's so confusing.
Either way,
it's so
confusing. Go get a shirt either way.
You can call us at 845-704-7465, which is 845-704-RINK. Aha. And you can always email Jay at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at tapeleg, and you'll probably see a lot of photographs there because I'm still doing my 365 project. And that, I think, is about it.
I love the nature shots, by the way. I like the animals. It's good. It's the good. It's the good stuff. Check that out, everyone. You didn't miss anything. You don't miss stuff.
Wow. I think no. Usually I miss something. Usually I forget about something completely.
I don't think so. Just lots of jerseys. So. Off season's time for jerseys, and getting ready for the season. And I'm excited. You excited?
Oh man, like you read about. You know, it felt like a. We've talked about how I felt about the off season and whether or not, you know, there's been enough time or whatnot. And maybe that's part of why I'm not really paying a lot of attention to World Cup of Hockey. Normally August, man, August, there's nothing it's hockey tough. And it's just total, nothing going on and you can kind of decompress, maybe even watch, I don't know, something weird like baseball,
or football, preseason football
for some reason. Yeah. But with the thing going on with the head coaching situation with Patrick Waugh leaving, all of a sudden August got really exciting mm-hmm. and really interesting. So it's going to be we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think I'm going to be ready for it, but I really want to see what the new head coaching thing is about. I want to see who it's going to be. I want to see how much time they have. It's going to be interesting.
It makes me curious and. Mm-hmm. We're that much closer to the regular season, though, and I love that. So there it is. That's right. The Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche, episode number 101. We're happy to bring you that. James has finished his drink. His orange drink on during the show. We're excited about that, but we're excited to share the season with you. We're going to come at you. We have set a goal this season. We're going to podcast at least once every month. We're going to do our best to do that. And we're going to make that happen for you.
No, we're not going to do. We're going to do that, buddy. There is no try. There is only do. Okay, Yoda said it, and it's true. He said it. Kind
of, wow. Do you rhyme all the time?
Yes, I do. I can make a rhyme whenever I feel like it.
That didn't rhyme.
I'm a poet and didn't even recognize that that was the case.
Damn it! You had it right there. Dang. You had one job.
I'm going to have my other drink.
Cool drink. Water.
Now with a vitamin. Right.
You got to stay hydrated. It's hot. It's dang hot.
It's really hot. How hot is it? It's like, really hot. You know, upper 90s.
It's so hot I can't even think of something funny to say about it.
I don't have it. So hot I can't even rhyme about it.
But we're excited to share the season with you. We have the passion. You've got the passion. And Let's go.
No, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be a lot of fun. You know, the changes that we just talked about in the lineup, there aren't significant changes to the point where you're missing a lot of guys, where you're wondering, is this the same team that we've ever seen before? I'm looking forward to guys gelling a little better. I'm looking forward to the core still being there and working hard. I'm looking forward to a slightly different defense. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Like EJ said, there's a lot of talent still left on this team. I mean, that's obviously hasn't changed for mm-hmm. a while, and a lot of upside. And hopefully this is the year where they start moving in a better direction. That's for sure. I'd like some playoff hockey, please.
I would miss
that a lot.
Yeah.
James, I appreciate you, man. We'll talk again soon. We'll come at you with episode number 102. Until then, stay cool, James, okay?
Sweating. Hot.
Just drink water and stuff. All right, folks. We'll be back in your ear holes here pretty soon. Thank you again for joining us and for your support and for downloading the show. And until next time we talk to you, take care. Let's go, Avs. We'll talk to you again soon on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. Hot dog, a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
It's an open face sandwich.
It's not.
It's an open face sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
Well, is an open face sandwich a sandwich then?
Well, it says sandwich right in it.
Why isn't the hot dog a sandwich?
Because it's a hot dog. It's not a sandwich. This isn't difficult, Jay. I don't know what the problem here is.
Have you ever had a hot dog sandwich?
No, I've had a hot dog. What's a hot dog sandwich? Like you slice the hot dog into slices and then like lay it on bread and then put like another piece of bread on top of it.
So that's a sandwich.
Like four or five slices of, because that might be a sandwich, but it wouldn't be a hot dog.
It's a hot dog sandwich.
There's no such thing as a hot dog sandwich. It's a hot dog. There is a sandwich and there was a hot dog and they are two different things.
This is great. Is the hot dog a sandwich though? No.
I've answered that six times. What seems to be the issue here? There is no such thing as a hot dog sandwich. It is a hot dog. A hot dog is a hot dog.